61. I gave them a triple-double. I gave those guys 61. People love to comment on how he doesn't pass enough. But his job is to score points and give out those numbers. And that's what he does. I'll tell a player, in order for you to reach your highest ability, this is going to be your number one focus. I want to make you excellent at this one thing. You can be average and above average at other things, but when people talk about someone who can do this, you're going to be the first name on the list. Otherwise, most people want to show they can do everything, which ultimately detracts from their real abilities. If you're not a three-point shooter, don't take those shots. If you're not a home run hitter, if you're the guy who's supposed to get on base and steal, do that. People get paid a fortune for being the expert at one thing, so that any time others need that one thing done, you're the only one they're calling. Years ago, I went with Michael to an FBI training facility where there's a practice range for the most elite sharpshooters in the world. There's one guy out there, alone, practicing his craft, over and over. The target is 400 yards away, four football fields. He has to get in his truck, drive to the target, set it up, and drive back to where we're standing. He gets his gun with the scope, takes aim, one shot, boom. We didn't even hear it go. Then we get in the truck with him and drive back to the target. Hit it. Dead fucking center. We would have been impressed if he'd hit the target anywhere. 400 yards. Dead center. Michael asked him how many people use that target range. He said, just me. So unless he had visitors like us, which didn't happen too often, he was alone working on this one shot. Over and over. So when people in the military need someone who can hit that kind of target, they call him. No one knows what this guy does every day to be this good. People just know he can deliver results. Figure out what you do. Then do it. And do it better than anyone else. And then let everything else you do build around that. Stay with what you know. Being great at one thing doesn't mean you can also run a restaurant, or a car dealership, or a line of sportswear. Bill Gates is not going to launch a line of sportswear. Most likely, neither should you. No matter how many years I'm in this business, I still shake my head at pro athletes who can't make the decision to commit themselves to excellence. This is your body, your livelihood. You only get a few years to ride this wave. Are you going to ride it, or lie on the beach whining that the water's too cold? One of the hardest decisions for an athlete is to determine how much fatigue and pain he can endure, and how far he can push himself. Everyone plays with pain. There's always something going on physically. The question is, how do you keep that from affecting your mentality? If you know you're going to have constant pain, can you get comfortable being uncomfortable? When some guys get injured and the doctor tells them they can't work out, they're fine with that. It's a relief and they don't miss it. When a cleaner gets injured, he's going to find a way to work out or go crazy trying. You have to make a choice. You can listen to the doctor and have a safer, longer recovery. Or you can take the shorter route, a quick fix. Maybe not long-term quality, but you'll be able to play. Depends how badly you want it. If a cleaner was put in a situation where he had to remove a body part to survive, he wouldn't think twice about it. He'd figure out a way to adapt without it. Yeah, it's a finger. I can go without it. Lose a finger or lose a season? He's losing the finger. Kobe has a finger that moves in all kinds of ways a finger isn't supposed to move. A normal person would have it surgically repaired, but what's the advantage to him other than he won't be able to bend his finger all the way around backward? Surgery will cost him 9 months of basketball. Is that worth it? Cleaners have a high tolerance for physical and mental pain. It's another great challenge to see how much they can take, what they can endure, how well they can play when they're not healthy. Michael's legendary flu game during the 1997 NBA Finals. Kobe's famed flu game during the 2012 season. You have to beware of a cleaner when he's physically sick because his body has totally challenged him to see what he's capable of. And because he's not as physically strong, he'll find another way to beat you, usually by turning up his mental game. Sickness, physical or mental, is one of the best ways to put a person in the zone. His survival instincts kick in and give him an extra gear for fighting back from a weakened state. About Michael's famous flu. I think most people recognize by now that he probably didn't actually have the flu that night in Utah. More likely it was food poisoning. Shortly before becoming ill, he had ordered in a late-night dinner from the only place we could find open in Park City, and when six guys showed up to deliver it, I felt something was wrong. Soon after, he was curled up on the floor, miserable and shaking, and sicker than I had ever seen him. Yet he had the grit and determination to play the next night, scoring 38 in what would become one of the defining games of his entire career. "Probably the most difficult thing I've ever done," he said later. Amazing what someone can do when everything is on the line. Some decisions can be life-altering. Should you retire? Have the surgery? Give up your dream? Some decisions are less challenging. After every game, I used to ask Michael one question. 5, 6, or 7? As in, what time are we hitting the gym tomorrow morning? And he'd snap back a time, and that was it. Especially after a loss, when there wasn't a whole lot else to say. No discussion, no debate, no lame attempt to convince me he needed the morning off. You good? I'm good. See you in the morning. And the next morning, at whatever time he decided, he'd awaken to find me standing outside his door. No matter what had happened the night before, good game, bad game, soreness, fatigue, he was up working out every morning while most of the other guys slept. Interesting how the guy with the most talent and success spent more time working out than anyone else. Kobe is the same. He's insatiable in his desire to work. Some days we'll go back to the gym twice a day and once more at night, trying different things, working on certain issues, always looking for that extra edge. At his level of excellence, there's no room for error, and no one in the game today works harder or invests more time in his body and surrounds himself with the right people to keep it in peak condition. But it's still not easy, and Kobe makes that decision every day to do the work. Again, the most talented guy working harder than anyone else. It's a choice. Each of Kobe's workouts takes around 90 minutes, and a half hour of that is spent just working on his wrists, fingers, ankles, all the details. That's how the best get better. They sweat the details. And every workout, at some point, he'll glare at me and ask, "What we got left?" Because let's face it, the work is hard and tedious, and sometimes that hoop looks as if it's 10,000 feet in the air, and you're trying to reach it wearing lead boots. But he does the work because if he can't put that ball in the hoop, everything else goes away. That's a choice. It all comes back to this. No matter what you do in life, are you willing to make the decision to succeed? Are you going to stand by that decision or quit when it gets hard? Will you choose to keep working when everyone else tells you to quit? Pain comes in all sorts of disguises. Physical, mental, emotional. Do you need to be pain-free? Or can you push past it and stand by your commitment and decision to go further? It's your choice. The outcome is on you. When you're a cleaner, you don't have to love the work, but you're addicted to the results. A cooler makes you wish you paid him less. A closer asks how much and then decides how hard he'll work. A cleaner doesn't think about the money. He just does the work and knows you'll be grateful for the privilege of paying him. Finally, the big day. Perfect knot in your $200 tie. Mom has a new dress. The whole family is by your side. Someone suddenly whispers in your ear, "This is it." The commissioner is at the podium. The 11th pick. You don't hear anything else. The first person to hug you is your agent. Congratulations. Today is the beginning of the end of your career. Did you exhale? Did you think, "I'm finally here, set for life"? Or did you think, "I have a lot of work to do"? Most guys on the day they're drafted go out to celebrate. Kobe went to the gym to practice. Making it to the top is not the same as making it at the top. True for any business, getting the job doesn't mean you're keeping the job. Winning the client doesn't mean he's staying forever. Most people seem to understand that. They get a big opportunity and usually realize they now have to go out and earn that salary, working even harder to prove they deserve it. But if you're an athlete who just got rich quick, the day you sign that contract can easily be the beginning of the end. You're already on the pedestal. Your shoe deal is in place. Now you're not just known by the team you play for, you're known by your brand affiliation. Instead of spending the summer working on your game, you're traveling the world pitching your sportswear. Your group of friends just grew 10 times larger than it was a week ago. And you're no longer dreaming about what you can do for the game, but what the game can do for you. You took what was handed to you, and that was the end. I'm using athletes as an example here, but you know it applies to anyone else as well. What have you been handed, and what are you willing to earn? At some point, you got a gift. Maybe you were blessed with a talent, or you inherited the family business, or someone took a chance on you and let you in the door. Then what? Doors swing two ways. Did you shut it on the competition or on yourself? There's nothing wrong with receiving a gift. That's where the challenge begins. Like a lot of people with a crazy dream, I saw an opportunity, worked hard to develop it, and never stopped working to see how far I could take it. Whenever other people in my business want to rip me, they say, "Sure, the guy started with Michael Jordan. It's not hard to train the best." If you think it's not hard to take the best and find ways to make him better, you've never had to face that challenge. It's easy to improve on mediocrity, not so easy to improve on excellence. Cleaner law. When you reduce your competition to whining that you got lucky, you know you're doing something right. There are no shortcuts, and there is no luck. People always say, "Good luck," in a pressure situation. No, it's not about luck. I don't believe in luck. There are facts and opportunities and realities, and how you respond to them determines whether you succeed or fail. Even the lottery isn't about luck. There's a set of numbers, either you get them right or you don't. When the game is on the line, you don't want to hear, "Good luck." It suggests you're not prepared. When you're headed to a job interview, you don't need luck. You need to know you're prepared and in control, and you're not relying on some random events or mystical intervention. Luck becomes a convenient excuse when things don't go your way, a rationale for staying comfortable while you wait for luck to determine your fate. You can't be relentless if you're willing to gamble everything on the unknown. It doesn't matter what you get handed. It's what you do after you receive it that affords you the privilege of saying, I did this on my own. If you get that gift and decide you're all set, you stand no chance, zero, of ever understanding greatness or excellence. Now you're the opposite of unstoppable. You stopped all on your own. Dwayne is the perfect example of receiving nothing but talent and taking it to the top. From a small high school in Chicago, not known for its great basketball program, he was barely recruited by any colleges and ended up at Marquette. He didn't even play his freshman year because of academic reasons. But he knew what it was going to take if he had any chance of making it to the pros, and he fought his way back. In 2003, he was drafted by the Miami Heat, the fifth pick after LeBron James, Darko Milicic, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Bosh. That's right. Of the big three, Dwayne Wade was the last one drafted. He arrived in Miami without billboards, mega million-dollar shoe deals, or a crown. He just showed up and played. 3 years later, he had his first championship ring. It would be years before anyone drafted ahead of him would do the same. You cannot understand what it means to be relentless until you have struggled to possess something that's just out of your reach. Over and over, as soon as you touch it, it moves farther away. But something inside you, that killer instinct, makes you keep going, reaching, until you finally grab it and fight with all your might to keep holding on. Anyone can take what's sitting right in front of them. Only when you're truly relentless can you understand the determination to keep pursuing a target that never stops moving. No question, those who are gifted get to the top faster than anyone else. So what? Is that your excuse for not reaching as high? The challenge is staying there, and most people don't have the balls to put in the work. If you want to be elite, you have to earn it. Every day, everything you do. Earn it, prove it, sacrifice. No shortcuts. You can't fight the elephants until you've wrestled the pigs, messed around in the mud, handled the scrappy, dirty issues that clutter everyday life so you can be ready for the heavy stuff later. There's no way you can be prepared to compete and survive at anything if you start with the elephants. No matter how good your instincts are, you'll always lack the basic knowledge needed to build your arsenal of attack weapons. And when you're surrounded by those elephants, they'll know they're looking at a desperate newcomer. One summer, I had about 50 guys in the gym, a combination of veterans and pre-draft players, including one young man who had never spent a single day wrestling a pig. He had gone to good schools with top coaches and came from a great family that made sure he had whatever he needed. He worked hard, but everything had been too easy, from scholarships to trophies, and he became a big star without paying a whole lot of dues. He expected to be drafted high and had no idea how things worked in the real world, unprotected by the college environment and supportive followers. He was a marked man from the minute he touched the ball. Every single player in the gym that day had one mission: fuck this kid up. Not nice, but competition rarely is. And because he had never been exposed to that level of heat and anger, he completely crumbled. He couldn't do a thing. Out of those 50 guys in the gym that day, he ranked 51st. And he learned the hard way that there's not a magazine cover or a parade that can help you when you're not prepared. People who start at the top never understand what they missed at the bottom. The guy who started by sorting the mail, or cleaning the restaurant late at night, or fixing the equipment at the gym, that's the guy who knows how things get done. After he's eventually worked his way up through the ranks, he knows how everything works, why it works, what to do when it stops working. That's the guy who will have longevity and value and impact, because he knows what it took to get to the top. You can't claim you ran a marathon if you started at the 17th mile. Most people are looking for an elevator, instead of taking the stairs. They want the easy route. People quit their workouts and diets because they're too hard. They stop advancing in their careers and lives because it's too much work. Guys make it to the pros and then don't want to play for coaches who are too tough. They can't deal with being uncomfortable, so they seek the shortcut. And when they can't find it, they quit. For all of Michael's amazing moves and unforgettable moments, he knew none of that could happen without the fundamentals. Those basic moves he had practiced over and over and over since he was a kid made everything else possible. He didn't work on being flashy. He worked on being consistent, and he worked on it relentlessly. Cleaners don't care about instant gratification. They invest in the long-term payoff. Ask yourself, honestly, what would you have to sacrifice to have what you really want? Your social life? Relationships? Credit cards? Free time? Sleep? Now answer this question. What are you willing to sacrifice? If those two lists don't match up, you don't want it badly enough. No matter what you do, if you're in it for the money or the attention, if you're not willing to put in the hard work and the commitment, if you're okay with just being okay, I have to ask you, why? Look, it's enough for a lot of people. I'm not judging. They don't want the pressure and stress. They don't want to sacrifice time with friends and family. They want to party when the mood strikes, sleep late when they can, and get up and go to bed with limited worries and responsibilities and pressure. I get that. It's a much easier way to experience life. But usually, those are the same people who look around at others who have more success and say, "I can't believe how lucky that guy is. I could do that if..." Stop. You could do that if... what? If you put in more time and effort? If you commit to whatever is making it work for him? If you're willing to pay the price he's paying? What's he doing that you can't do? That's what I thought. You could do the same, and so much more. What's stopping you? And even if you can't do it his way, and why should you, why aren't you doing it your own way? Don't be jealous of someone if you had the same opportunity and you let it slip away. When did hard work become a skill? It doesn't take talent to work hard. Anyone can do it. Show up, work hard, and listen. It takes a willingness to be dedicated, to improve, to be better. I don't care if you're a superstar or the weakest guy on the team. Anyone can show up, work hard, and listen. Are you looking for that non-existent shortcut, or are you ready to do things the right way? Do you want it easy, or do you want it great? During the 2011-2012 NBA season, which started 2 months late due to a labor dispute, a lot of players suffered serious injuries. Almost all the blame was placed squarely on the lockout, the shortened season, too many games with too little rest. When the labor standoff ended and the league rushed into action with limited workouts and practice, everyone complained that the players had no time to get ready. The consequences were immediately obvious. Many players were out of shape, poorly conditioned, unprepared to play, and on their way to being injured, some for days or weeks, others for the entire season. But here's my question. Why were the players out of shape, poorly conditioned, and unprepared to play? Seriously, all those months, sitting around waiting for the lockout to end, what else did they have to do? When you use your body for a living, you have one job and it requires one thing. Work hard to stay in peak condition. That's it. Protect your body and your skills, get in shape, and stay that way. It's a year-round commitment, not a hobby. You're supposed to be the best in the world. You're one of only a few hundred athletes who get to have this job, and you can't work out because you don't know when the season is starting? Who the hell cares when the season is starting? Get your ass in the gym. Yet when it was clear that the NBA season would start late, or perhaps not at all, the majority of players trained less or not at all, deciding they could put in the hard work when necessary. I heard it over and over. Didn't want to pay for trainers. Didn't want to waste the time and effort required to get to that level of preparedness. Great. Now we've got some of the greatest athletes on earth putting in the same effort as the average guy at the health club. Maybe less. If we had known when the season was going to start... Stop it. What difference did it make? You should have been ready to go, instead of planning to do the real work when the season was ready to roll. You can't prepare for the intensity of an entire NBA season at the last minute, especially one that would be condensed and allow little time for rest and recovery. Oh, you didn't know the schedule was going to be condensed? So what? You should still have been ready. One guy who took no shortcuts getting ready for the season was Kobe. Given his history of injuries and his long list of accomplishments, it would have been easy for him to take the summer off, get some rest, and wait for the league to settle its issues. Instead, he invested the time working out, training, and preparing to be better than ever. So when most players were relaxing with light workouts that did nothing to prepare them for the grueling months ahead, Kobe and I were in the gym most of the summer and fall, putting in hours every day, usually twice a day, and sometimes more. When the season finally started on Christmas Day, when other players were still trying to find their legs and their shot, he was already mentally and physically ready. In the months that followed, he played through A. knee pain, B. torn wrist ligaments, C. a broken nose, and D. a concussion. And he did not miss a single game until he was kicked in the shin playing against the Hornets in April, an injury that sidelined him for 7 games and forced him to take an unwanted rest that ultimately cost him the scoring title. Until that injury, he never asked to sit out, never took a shortcut. No one but Kobe can know the pain and discomfort he endured, but the hard work he had already put in paid off, and his body allowed him to keep going when most athletes would have had to sit. In anything you do, it takes no talent to work hard. You just have to want to do it. I could tell you so many stories about athletes blessed with incredible physical talent, size, power, pure athletic excellence, who end up playing sports only because that's where their gifts direct them. They don't love it, or even like it, but that's where they end up because they're so physically extraordinary. So they have no motivation to do more because they don't crave the end result. They're happy to be there if there's a parade at the end, but if there's not, they're okay with that too. You can tell those players, for the same money you can go to this team, but you'll probably sit on the bench, or you could go to this other team and play every day, but first they need you to drop 40 pounds and get in shape. And every time they'll say, I'm getting paid either way? Fuck it. I don't need to get in shape. I had a player who fit so well where he was, they loved him there. And when his contract was up, they offered him $42 million, which was probably $32 million more than he was worth. Then, another team offered him $48 million. Please, I said, stay where you are. You don't fit with the other team. They won't know how to use you. It's a mistake. Of course, he took the money and changed teams. And that extra $6 million has probably cost him at least $20 million because, surprise, it didn't work out. And he cheated himself out of what could have been a longer and more successful career. The bench for the right team, and you walk away with a nice bonus and a ring. Good enough, if good enough is what you set out to achieve. You made some money sitting down. But money doesn't make you smart. It doesn't make you a good businessman. And it sure doesn't make you better looking. Most of the time it makes you soft, complacent, and mistakenly confident about your future. But you may not realize any of that for a long time.